Yeah, what you are about to hear is a work of fan fiction. All characters and events and settings, even those based on the ones from World of Warcraft, are entirely fictional, and half of it was probably made up on the spot. Listening to this production indicates your consent to its terms of service, which we forgot to write down.
Last time, our heroes finished recovering from an ordeal with a Felguard and are ready for their next steps. Ari's new demon hunter powers have begun to come online, and Falcus has crafted an impressive new weapon. Will they be able to continue to pursue their leads here in Stormwind, or has Pandaria become a bigger priority? And what was in that letter that Ari received from Wellath? Let's find out what happens next as we queue up for some more Heroic Dungeons and Dragons.
All right, so before we begin, for the audience, you guys should know that the last episode that you would have listened to only just came out 2 weeks ago. We actually haven't played in a few months. So if there's ever any moment here where we sound confused about something that was seemingly very clear only a few weeks ago, that is the reason. Bear with us on that. Last time we played, Ari Missa Greymane of Gilneas completed her transformation into Demon Hunter. Again, full transparency here, audience point of view, Ari has two levels of Demon Hunter and six levels of Bard. This is as the result of a class feature that we worked into the Demon Hunter class, whereby like multiclassing can be like kind of goofy. By the time this episode comes out, you will be able to visit our Discord channel, the link to which is on our Twitter page, twitter.com/heroicdnd, where you can find all of the information about this homebrew class that we came up with. I fully admit that it is a second or third draft, and it's going to look like that. There are going to be things that are maybe a little bit unbalanced. I want to hear your feedback about that. So if you have any information, anything that you'd like to share about how the class is designed, or any input that you want to bring, we're welcome to that on the Discord. I can't guarantee that any suggestions are going to be implemented, but I'll have a conversation with Amanda about it and see if she likes any of the changes, and then we'll might maybe do some stuff. Could be a lot of fun. I've never designed a class before, so we'll see what you guys think. But that's where we are right now. Ari now has those two levels in Demon Hunter. Butch and Falcus were able to bring her and the kids back to the Silver Covenant base, where they rested and recuperated. Ari had this long scene where she, you know, envisioned all these things happening in her, you know, sort of mindscape, spiritual soul area, where her already curse was now dealing with this new demonic thing, and there was all this stuff happening. In the meantime, while she was recovering, Butch went upstairs to just, you know, work out and like relieve some stress and that sort of thing, and overheard an interaction between Lariadra, the leader of the Silver Covenant headquarters here in Stormwind, and Captain Amelia Braxton, the paladin warden of the Stormwind Stockades, the captain of the City Watch Guard, came and arrested Lariadra for what had happened at the Stockades. She came and said, "Hey, professional to professional, this is what I believe happened. What's going on here? Can you, you know, did your people do this?" And she said, "Yeah, they did, and they did it on my order, so any consequences come to me." And then they went amicably, quote unquote. Like, she wasn't dragged through the streets to jail or anything. She left voluntarily with Captain Braxton. So that's kind of where the Silver Covenant is right now. Any leadership responsibilities have essentially been passed down to Falarin Shroudsong. So that's where the Silver Covenant is at. You guys did call, by the way, for Queen Mia Greymane to come visit Ari, so she is here. I don't actually have a token on the screen for her, but she is present for anything that you guys might want to do. After which, you guys wake up the following morning, and I don't know if I made it explicit, but so far, like, we didn't have you roll dice for the random event for the morning. The storm that was all day yesterday has subsided. And at this time, it doesn't appear that anything new has popped off. Sort of the first thing in the morning jazz that we believe was associated with that dark shard. The mail came, and we had a letter from Billy Battlechin, who said that he was going to be harboring here in Stormwind at the request of our friend Butch. Come to Stormwind because there's some business to be taken care of down in Pandaria, and our heroes needed a ride. So he's going to be here today. There was also a letter from Wellath, who had addressed to Ari. Falkus went and got the mail and made the decision to not be a snoop about it, and instead just brought it to Ari. So she got that letter. She read it privately. We still don't know what it says. Falkus then went on his own adventure and went to the barbershop, changed his hair to purple, purplish blue, like a dark blue, and then went out and used the arrow that he picked up from the demon, from the Felguard fight down in the Teldrassil kids' base camp, the arrow that Sylvanas had fired through the portal, and a magic bow and several other components, and used his engineering and arcane prowess to assist the enchanter in creating a new longbow. Butch, need you to step down off your high horse. Yes, you are covered head to toe in plus one magic weapons. Good for you. Falkus now has a plus two magic weapon. So
no fair.
You're going to have a hard time sort of lording your status as the best fighter over him. At this point, Butch went out into the woods and did some hunting and gathering and has a magical extra-dimensional igloo cooler filled to the brim with mundane food ingredients that you found out in the woods. Anything that you might want to make that would be reasonably constructed from the things that you'd be able to find in Stormwind or in the Stormwind surrounding area, you can make. So if you want to come up with a rabbit stew recipe that counts as a well-fed food and grants some kind of ability, I'm here for it. Let me know what you want to make. Finally, the very last two things that happened was after Ari woke up and recovered and read her letter from Wellath and everything else, she acted on the hint that Uldoon Blackpowder, the dwarven ranger that they had one of the people that they had rescued from the stockades, had said, hey, I was investigating the shard before you guys even got into town, and came across a scroll of legend lore, which is a magical spell that I believe will give us some more insight into what this thing is. And I hid it in the Pig and Whistle Tavern down the street from the Silver Covenant headquarters. Ari went and collected that. I don't know if you ever put it into your inventory, but you do have one scroll of legend lore. Bear in mind that that is a fifth level spell. So in order to cast it, we're going to be rolling some dice about it just to make sure that you're sufficiently powerful enough to cast it. Should be fine. I imagine it'll be just fine. And on your way back, at this point, the players are kind of beginning to converge wherever in town that you would like to converge. And you will have heard the local town criers announcing that King Anduin will be sort of on one of the balconies above the center courtyard in front of Stormwind Keep, giving some announcement to the people of Stormwind. So, at this point, the Teldrassil kids are safe. The plan to and you're like, Anduin's not here. He's in some place with darkness and chains and Sylvanas's and all that kind of stuff. So, okay, imposter, that's happening. At this point, the plan to rescue Anduin is probably kaput, because the process of accidentally summoning that Felguard sort of destroyed all the work that they had done. You know, and Sylvanas is there guarding him. Like, some, you know, level 3 warlock isn't going to be able to necessarily summon him anymore. So that plan was a good plan, but eventually, proved to be too much for us to handle. You do have some leads as to things you can do next. You found out that the dark shard is probably somewhere in the keep. You know that Billy is here in town, ready to bring you guys to Pandaria. And you know that there's all kinds of things happening in Pandaria. The place is under a whole bunch of snowfall. It seems very likely that one of the shards flew there. We have like trajectory from different people who suggested that probably one went down south somewhere, likely to Pandaria. Finally, we do have the lead that the warrior trainer over at the, you know, the Warriors Hall, just actually down the street again from the Silver Covenant headquarters, had spoken to Butch briefly about Sunyu Firebottom and the Titan's Grips and how, like, they're this thing that sort of sometimes shows up when great heroes are in need of great strength and does all these, like, weird things. So that's sort of a lead also that you could follow at this point. I'm curious to know what everybody would like to do. I would say we're probably in the late morning hours. The city of Stormwind is at your disposal. At this point, you also, because Lariadra took the fall for your activity in the stockades, I will say that it seems unlikely that you guys are actually being pursued right now as part of that. So you are free to move about the city if you choose to. What are you guys looking to do?
I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. The big like call to action that I hear, and I'd like y'all to tell me. Anyway, the big call to action that I hear is that Andor was making a speech, and Billy's here. We'd find out something from Anduin, but also potentially get on a boat with Billy. And I've got a bunch of food. But no, I haven't made anything, but I could. I can. And, I mean, what time of day is it now? Like,
this is the same day that Falkus went and got the bow upgraded, right? It's all the same day?
Yes. In fact, that's the reason that you're, like, 11 hit points down or something like that. You took a hit because at one point over the course of that build, the bow exploded.
Gotcha. So Butch is out and about in the countryside. Ari's still back in the Silver Covenant basement. Was I the one who heard the hearie call to the...
Generally speaking, town criers tend to work like maybe one in each district. So I would say, I don't think it's unlikely. I think that it makes the most sense that both Ari and Falkus have this information. Depending on whether or not Butch has gotten back to town, like if you have, then you also would have heard that announcement. If not, then it would be news to you to find out.
Oh, I definitely have. And okay. I'm back in the Dwarven District, you know, packing stuff up, maybe washing mud off my hands. Casually drinking an ale on the side, you know, not trying to get drunk, but you know how when it's like fixing a car and drinking a beer, except I'm loading up the my new toy that Vulcus made me, and you know, packing everything up and like little you know, preparing the rat. I don't have like rabbit carcasses in there. I'm scanning the rabbit and and wrapping it correctly to put it in the fridge and the cooler, and things like that. And putting the herbs and stuff that I found into like bricks and stuff. And oh look, wow! I even have this these herbs that makes those eye drops. Isn't that crazy? I still have that. So.
Oh my god! Yeah, you totally do.
I'm
gonna have to throw
do.
Some blindness conditions at you guys because you got a cooler full of special plant.
Eyebright,
I forget what they're even
flowers.
Called. Eyebright, that's right, man. Yo, we started playing this game when I was a child. I can't remember nothing.
So yeah, I'm at the Dwarven District, casually having a nail, packing up the bridge.
All right, well then in that case, you're actually the closest to the keep, I think. You would see people moving in large groups toward the keep at this point.
That makes sense. It's a nice day outside, you know, the door is open on the tavern. So, you know, people are just walking in and out and maybe they're having a beer on their way. But yeah. So, do you think I'm waiting on my friends or just heading to the key? I think I No, I put the lid on the cooler, you know, and go, hey, Cookie, I'm just going to leave this here for a minute instead of lugging it upstairs. But I'll be right back.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Cool, cool. All right, and I chug, I throw back the quarter amount of beer that's still in the mug, and I make my way over to the keep.
Okay. Ari and Falkus, what are you guys doing?
You said I have the scroll spell, right?
Yeah, I think you do.
I'm going to put the scroll into the gnomish pocket copy machine.
Okay.
Because right now, we don't know where the red one is. I don't feel like we're going to get the black one is my vibe. So I'm going to put it in there just to have two of them in case something happens to one of them. I know it takes 48 hours, so this we can't use it for 2 days, but I'm going to do that.
Okay. Yeah. You put it in there. It automatically, the magic and mechanical processes that are required to start copying a scroll kick on, and you see that this thing has started to work. If you put it away and leave it there for the next 2 days, you will have a second scroll.
How long? I feel like my character would know this. How long is a boat ride going to take from us to Pandaria?
If you were to take a straight shot to Pandaria, it would take a few days. So okay. You would be able to do this on the boat ride if you chose to. You also do know at some point, not terribly long ago, I think Falkus probably would have mentioned, oh yeah, and by the way, there's this other thing. All the way back, rewind time, all the way back to all of our childhoods, back when we were young and innocent. When we were on the pirate island, there was...
Wow, that's where I got my coat.
Yeah, that's where you got your coat. There was some information that led you to think that there might have been a stash of pirate treasure somewhere in the South Seas. Odds are good that that'd be probably on the way to Pandaria. So if you were to take a straight shot to Pandaria a couple days, you'd make a pit stop a little bit longer.
I'm not trying to go past a pirate island with treasure and not go on it.
Oh, we're going to stop. I'm sure of that. But I have a few days, so I'm at least going to make one of these. We'll see if I make another one. Knowing the king's going to make an announcement, I'm definitely going to head there. I feel like I would try to get close-ish, like not first row close, but close enough just so I can like see facial expressions and things like that.
Okay, good call. You guys, I think, probably would... you know what? You guys would see each other in the crowd. If you guys want to be standing next to each other, if you want to be separate, whatever.
Yeah, Ari is easy to make out. I mean, Falk is kind of short, but Ari looks all weird now.
So. She does. And I think you would realize that she's probably the only demon hunter in the crowd.
That's kind of what I was referring to.
Well, it's more than that. Like, obviously, demon hunters stand out. When you're the only demon hunter in the city, that stands out more. Keep in mind, we're in a position right now where almost all of the adventurers who would normally be chilling in town aren't here. And we as players understand why. They're all out in the Shadowlands. Falkus, what are you up to?
Kind of want to find high ground. That's usually just kind of where my brain goes is scouting. I'd like to be close enough to be able to hear what's being said of the announcement, but I kind of want high ground so that I can, knowing the city layout, there's a couple buildings and a couple houses like nearby that I'd like to, you know, get like a rooftop spot to be able to look over the crowd, look at the announcement area where the people who are standing up there, and pop out the spyglass and be able to look. I can even use my Goblin Engineering Goggles, I believe Eagle Sight Lens, that I can activate the lens to gain advantage on. It's Wisdom and Perception checks actually rely on sight for 10 minutes. While activated, you can make out details of even extremely distant creatures and objects as small as 2 feet across in conditions of clear visibility. Yeah, let's use the Goblin Engineering Goggles. I'll turn those on and be looking in that direction at the announcement and trying to pick out any possible details of who is this Anduin? Where is the captain of the guard? Where is she standing in all of this? And if there's anything else that stands out of is interesting of who's standing up there with Anduin, air quotes.
Okay. What I'm showing you guys right now is a picture from in-game of the courtyard where this is happening. You guys will recognize as the entrance area to Stormwind Keep. What we're looking at here is all the way down here you'll see probably is like where the majority of the crowd is assembled. You'll see that there are some guards standing there, just like how there normally would be if there's any kind of royal proclamation. The guy's a king, after all. He's going to have guards. Behind them is that big fountain with the statue of Varian Wrynn on there, holding that sword all cool style, right? And then on the left and the right are the stairs that go up so that they go around the fountain so that they go to the main entrance area to the keep. And there's that, to say it's a balcony is probably the wrong thing, but there's this raised ground level thing where, like, if someone were standing there near the fountain, they'd be looking down at the crowd. That is where you would see Anduin, who is surrounded by Gen Greymane in Worgen form, Captain Braxton, Valyra Sanguinar, who, for those of us who are not as lore aware, she is a blood elf who has been loyal to the royal family ever since she and half of Varian were part of a enslaved gladiatorial combat team.
Logosh.
Logosh, that's correct. They go way back. She is a spy mistress that works separately from the... She's like the king's personal several things. Like, to say that she's just a spy is inappropriate. She's a really powerful and dangerous rogue. As well as Torellian, paladin from, you know, Legion and from Warcraft 2 and from 100 things. They're all standing up there on the thing together. Now, the crowd is forming. Ari's kind of closer. Butch is sort of in the middle there. I'm going to change the screen here briefly to help Falkus get positioned. What we're looking at here is that overhead map of Stormwind. Falkus, if you're trying to get up onto a building and look in from the distance, because there's... So I'm pinging here is where the crowd is standing, and then up here is where Anduin and the royals and everybody are standing. In order to see all this with a clear vantage point above these towers and walls and such, I think the easiest place for you to be is on either one of the taller buildings in the Dwarven District or Old Town close to the walls. So wherever it is that you'd like to be is going to be fine. Now, for the purposes of what you're trying to do, I don't think you're going to have any problems with seeing. Possibly you may have some problems with hearing, depending on how far away you are. But those are probably your best options. It would be a better vantage point and closer and easier to hear if you were up on the actual keep crenellations or towers. Those are going to be guarded. So don't know if that's the direction you want to take.
No, I definitely do not want to take those risks, not at this point in time. Knowing, I guess I would say, I did see Ari and Butch heading into the crowd closer up, that I will take the handicap of not being able to hear to take the advantage on being able to, you know, perception and really... looking at the crowd and looking at the people's faces and looking for any little details to know about this. I'm sure if I, you know, meet back up with Ari and Butch, they're going to fill me in on what was actually said.
Okay, cool. The crowd forms, everybody gets into their positions. You're like, okay, there's going to be some sort of thing. Anduin steps forward. The crowd cheers because he's everybody's favorite golden boy. He raises his hand to sort of settle the crowd. He's up on that raised platform. And he speaks, and he doesn't seem to be shouting or screaming. Magically, his voice is being amplified. Thaumaturgy spell, cantrip, very easy to perform. Good citizens of Stormwind! It is with great pride and immense pleasure that I announce to you today the beginning of our fight to retake the human kingdom of Lordaeron from the Horde! Everybody's very cheering. There's people in the crowd cheering. You know that there's a lot of people in the city. who they live in Stormwind. They're from families that needed to evacuate from Lordaeron in the beginning of the Third War. There's a lot of displaced families that end up in Stormwind. A lot of the crowd also is like a little surprised that this is the announcement, because there's hungry people in the crowd. Like, food seems like a bigger priority than a military venture. You know, that's sort of the vibe that you get. He continues. When the Alliance attacked the Undercity in retribution for the destruction of the World Tree Teldrassil, Sylvanas Windrunner betrayed her people and detonated plague bombs, rendering the city briefly uninhabitable to both the living and the dead. With neither a Horde presence in the capital city nor dangerous foes in the surrounding lands of Alterac, Silverpine, or Hillsbrad, the time is right to mobilize. Northern ports and fresh farmlands will mean an end to the dependence we've had on the Pandaren for food, and a solidification of Alliance might across the entirety of the Eastern Kingdoms. It will mean safety, prosperity, and full bellies for all the good people of the Alliance. Crowd starts to get warmer to this. People are still cheering. Anduin starts to describe the logistics of enlisting for this service, where to go, what benefits would come with the work. There are people in the audience who are excited about the prospects of retaking Alliance land. There's other people who are excited about having more farmland and that sort of thing. Could I get Butch and Ari to hit me with a wisdom saving throw, please?
Unsurprisingly, Butch rolled a 5.
I got a 15. Sorry, I did it twice on accident. 15.
Okay. Butch, I don't know if you forget that this guy's an imposter or if you're more focused on the message. I know that, pardon me, I know that you're very food motivated in a lot of ways.
I'm also enthusiastic.
And he's good. The guy knows how to talk to a crowd. He's doing a good job. Getting Lordaeron back would mean a lot for the Alliance, actually. You come to realize.
I've never heard of Lordaeron myself, but it sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, it's big. It's nice. You'd like it there. This plan actually could work. You start to get kind of excited about it. Ari, this guy's magically influencing the crowd. You're sure of that. Falkus, from your distant vantage point, you can see that, like, there's a physical excitement happening here. The majority of the people who were there who were hesitant are starting to, like, get good. And they're, like, looking around like, okay, well, we have to go where to, like, we gotta go sign up. We gotta go do the thing. We have to be part of this militia to do this.
And I don't know if you'll let me do this. So I got the letter from Wellath. And you guys won't know this yet, but in the letter, it talks about increased Scourge activity in Silverpine and Shadowfang Keep, which is right up there where Lordaeron is and stuff. Is there any perception check or something I can do to see if I notice anything odd going on with who's up there?
I will say that you have correctly identified the inconsistency in this messaging. He just said that things are clear, there are no threats, and you got a letter from a trusted ally that says that there is. So that doesn't make sense. Rather than do a perception check, it's not easy to master a new form of magic or a new ability very quickly, but you got a 20 charisma. Your magic stat is on point. And if the one thing there is that a demon hunter needs to control his or her demon, it's willpower. I'm curious to know, as you gain more and more control over your demon hunter abilities, if there's anything that you'd like to do to goose that perception.
Would spectral sight be usable in this situation? Would that do anything to it?
Spectral sight at its base level grants you dark vision at all times. You can use it as an action to grant you true sight for one turn.
How close am I to... Because I said I want to be close. Am I close enough that the 60 feet will... Or it's 120. No, it's 60
I think it's
feet.
60. But you did say enough? You wanted to be close.
Okay, let's do that then.
All right. You see Anduin standing up on the podium, right? Surrounded by all the people who he was surrounded by. Superimposed over him, you also see a black, smoky shadow that is visible only to you in the form of a massive dreadlord.
Yikes.
Does he notice I notice him at all?
Ooh. Go ahead and roll insight for me. And I'm going to roll a perception. Oh my goodness, they've changed the UI. Here, hang on.
They have. I only rolled a 7 though, so it's okay.
We're doing a perception. Or, insight is the reading of other people. You're trying to read him. You want to know if he sees you. Would that be, I'm wondering if his perception or his insight is the more appropriate role here. I'm going to say insight. It'll be an insight contest. So let's do. No, I was right the first time. Perception is more appropriate. Okay. Did that do what I wanted? Yes. Okay. So you said you rolled a 7. I hit a 10. I'm going to say that you are trying to see if he notices you. With a 10, I think because his insight is higher than yours, I'm going to say that he does note, and you'll notice that he noticed. If his insight had been lower, you would have noticed that he didn't notice. does that make sense?
Yeah,
we're trying to figure this out here together. I'm going to say that that's what happened. He sees you see him. The Dreadlord is holding in his hand a black crystalline object, roughly the size of a loaf of bread. And it seems to be wisping as if, you know how like smoke comes off of, what's that special ice that's fun to...
Dry ice.
You know how you play with dry ice. I don't know how this is true, but it's true. My grandmother had a dry ice guy. And he used to bring dry ice over and we would play with it. We didn't touch it because that's dangerous, but we would smoke. It was fun. He's holding it in his hand and you can see that there are those same wispy, smoky gray strands of magic. Very, very similar to the ones that you saw on the chains that like made up the chains that were locking the Silver Covenant doors. And that were locking real Anduin's wrists to the floor. Same kind of energy. He's holding the crystal in his hand. That energy is coming off the crystal and it is connecting to little circlets of shadow power that wrap around the heads, like little shadowy crowns on Gen, Valyra, and Tyralion.
Does the crown look similar to the one that Lurialdra had when she was down in the basement of the...
Yes.
Okay.
You can see that they're all standing normally and respectfully, and they're listening to quote-unquote Anduin's speech. In the spectral sight, you can see that they're all, like, trying to pull the crowns off of their heads. This isn't a physical reality that you're seeing. You're seeing their internal struggle against what is essentially some sort of domination magic. Roll me another different insight check for me. And actually, let's get... Butch, you're imagining a full belly, so you don't count. We'll get one from Ari. Let's also get one from Falcus. And Falcus, does your insight... Does that... Does that get a bonus because of your goggles?
I'm sorry. Say one more time. What are we rolling?
You're looking at Anduin as he's giving his speech to the crowd, and you're looking at the people standing around Anduin. What I wanted was an insight check, but I was curious to know if insight was affected by your long-range goggles in any way.
No, just wisdom perception is the advantage.
Okay. Then hit me with an insight.
6.
10.
Okay. I'll say this then, and you guys can have a conversation to pool your information together after the fact. Ari, I mentioned that you could see these sort of mind control crowns on Gen, Valyra, and Tyrallian. You don't see one on Amelia. The insight check was to see more information about why that was the case, or to see what her vibe was as she stands up there with the rest of them. On a 10, I think that there's too much going on. I think there's too much new information coming in from the true sight. And ultimately, at her bones, she's a cop. And when she wants to turn on the I'm not showing what I'm thinking face, she can do that. So it's tough to know what's going on in her head right now. But you know that this Dreadlord who's masquerading as Anduin Wrynn has this black shard crystal. You know that he is mind controlling the most important people politically and, you know, of that nature in the keep with it. But not Amelia. The speech eventually comes to an end. They calmly walk off stage. Your true sight ends after about a minute, so you get all this information and then it fades away and then you lose contact with that. And as Anduin goes to turn away, he makes eye contact with you one more time, gives like a real tiny little, what are you going to do about it? Kind of a smile.
Ooh.
And then walks back into the castle.
I would go find Butch and Falcus and like just relay everything that just happened about the Dreadlord. Anduin being mind controlled, but also being in the other dimension. So still kind of shady stuff happening there. And Amelia not having the crown on her head.
Just for the point of clarification, because I know that was kind of a big, that was a very visual scene. Anduin wasn't mind controlled, or rather this Dreadlord guy's not mind controlled. The idea that you get is that he's got the crystal and he's using it to do Gen, Tyrallian, like the leadership of Stormwind essentially is under his control.
So there's an Anduin character that we don't know how he's here and he's there. Okay.
Well, you know that this Dreadlord, Dreadlords have a history of masquerading as people.
Oh, I didn't connect that.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
So that's the Dread. Right. Okay. So in Warcraft lore, Dreadlords, it's been a long time since we've played, and some percentage of our audience doesn't even play this game. So I will describe more in depth. And I know that because I know some of them and they were like, oh, I was listening to your show. I was like, how long have you been playing Warcraft? I've never played that game before. Dreadlords are a humanoid demon thing that is very, very tall. They're normally like, what do you guys think? Like 15 feet tall? Yes? Ish?
They're big.
Big horns on top of their head. Evil looking face. They're usually very armored. They have these huge bat wing demon, like devil wing things. And they have a series of powers that are pretty typical of their kind. That like a lot of Dreadlords tend to share these powers. They have like sleep powers. They have transformation and disguise powers. They usually impersonate people in positions of power. We saw that in Scarlet Monastery, I think. Am I wrong? There was a Dreadlord there,
yes.
I think. There was one in Stratholme who was doing some bad juju. They come up every once in a while, and they're usually like people in leadership positions being secretly Dreadlords. So that is what you uncover in this moment. Dreadlords are a big deal. It is not uncommon for very powerful dreadlords to take down groups larger and stronger than yours.
So going back a second, I would relay the information that Anduin is a dreadlord and that they are controlling the other three, Ginn and them, but Amelia is not controlled. And I get the sense that he is aware that I am aware, at least, that he exists.
Was there anything else that Falkus could pick up using the eagle sight lenses of the situation of the who was all there? I didn't see you mention Matthias Shaw. That was the only other person I could think of in that circle of powerful people. Granted, he is the spymaster of SI7, but that would have been somebody else who I would have been looking for in that group.
Matthias Shaw, no, he was not present.
Okay, and what was the thing before that Matthias Shaw had? Oh, he tried to have Ari killed. That's what it was. The Matthias Shaw was trying to get Ari killed. Because I was trying to remember his relationship to all this too. So he's probably, having not known, I haven't met back up with Ari to know what she saw, but. But yeah, going back to my eagle sight lenses, was there anything else that I could see that maybe people close up in the crowd didn't see or notice?
Remind me again, it's simply advantage on perception?
Yes, I've got advantage on wisdom perception checks that rely on sight for 10 minutes. And then while activated, I can make out details of even extremely distant creatures and objects as small as 2 feet across in conditions of clear visibility. So I thought if there was anything minute that I might be able to see that nobody else noticed or saw.
Go ahead and hit me a perception with advantage. Let's see what you see.
Gosh, my rolls today are crap. The perception with advantage is a 14.
I think that you had a really good vantage point, and you were able to see there wouldn't have been anything that you would have missed from where you were standing. You don't spot anything that was hidden around the corner or off to the side or anything that seemed abnormal. I feel really bad about this because that's a cool way to use your stuff. And I think you were right to do it. But unfortunately, there wasn't anything extra that you were able to, and not because of the dice. I've presented what there was to present.
Okay.
A lot of the crowd is headed toward the area where, you would go to enlist in this new service, this Lordaeron effort. Butch, are you headed that way too?
I sure am, but first I'm going to go get my friend Ari. I see her right over there. And I'm going to go and put my arm around her and be like, hey, you ready to go to Lordaeron?
I'm going to at first like give a weird look, like, are you serious? But then like it clicks, like this is still all new to like Butch. He doesn't understand everything in this world. Like, Butch, we need to go find Falkus. We're not going. I'll explain.
Remember that there's a bit of mind control going on too.
Yes.
They need us in Lordaeron to get some full bellies, and I dang sure can help with that. You know, no one fills a belly better than I do. But you know what? The three of us should stick together. So let's bring in Falkus on this too. I bet if we go back to the tavern, which is right here, hey, we can get an ale. Let's go.
I go with Butch to the tavern, trying to, like, Falkus, I'm sure, is looking for us in the crowd or whatever, like, signal we're going. Be like, Butch, you know, I don't know if you're the one to fill bellies, but let's talk to Falkus. Let's get his insight on what he saw.
All right, but the first round's on me.
Perfect.
Falkus is able to get down off of his vantage point, like Peter Parker calmly walking down the side of that building. And yeah, the three of you were able to meet up, unless Falkus, you had somewhere else to be, but I assume everyone's meeting up.
Yeah, meeting up with everybody else.
Groovy. Now, I want to be clear. The effect that he had on the crowd was essentially a mass charm. There's not a mind control element here. You are still yourself, but it's just that his argument was particularly convincing to you. That's really all the more that he did.
Falcus, are you coming to the tavern?
Yeah, I would see you guys probably starting to walk in that direction towards those doors, and I'll follow in shortly behind you guys. Like, I'm still, like, behind the crowds. Like, you can just see your friends up ahead there and meet up with you guys there at that tavern.
Falcus, did you hear all that? Were you out there with us? Oh, man, Anduin just gave a rousing speech, and everyone's so excited. We're going to Lordaeron.
Having, like, heard bits and pieces from the crowd as I was walking through, I'll just kind of turn to Ari. I was like, what's going on here?
I think that maybe the effect of the crowd.
Get us three ales, Cookie. Let's go.
He's a little charmed, a little
influenced. Got it.
Yep.
Got it.
At this point, I would relay last letter. So I would tell you guys, hey, Butch, like, I know you loved what he said, but Wellath wrote me and let me know that Silver Pine Forest right now, not so much. Scourge is kind of overrunning it. There's a lot going on there. So I don't think fake Anduin was telling the truth.
Okay, what does Silver Pine have to do with Lordaeron?
Silver Pine is right next to Lordaeron. Like, kind of like the forest you just went out to.
Yeah, the Elwynn Forest.
It's kind of like that, but up north. So, I mean, if Scourge are there, they're going to be heading to Lordaeron soon. I mean, they have to go through Tristfall a little bit. It's fine. It's okay. So, I don't think he's telling the truth. Tristfall's right next to Lordaeron. And then I would relay the fact that I saw a Dreadlord that was Anduin. They had crowns on their heads. They're trying to get it off. And you won't get this, Amelia doesn't have a crown, so she's just kind of a witch because she's a witch, so, you know. I can't even blame the crown on it.
Either that or she's just an opportunistic who knows how to keep her skin intact. Looking at the people who were all there, the only person who I didn't see who would have been in that same group of folks was Matthias, which leads me to believe, considering that you were almost assassinated by people under Matthias's direction, that he's probably also crowned as well.
How you doing, Butch? You still want to go sign up for the fight?
Well, now that I know that he's a dreadlord, I ain't trying to mess with dreadlords.
He did have the crystal, and I know we have one. So, what's going on up there is important, but I think we still need to go to Pandaria to see if we can get that crystal. I don't know if having them all is going to help, but I think knowing where they are at least is the bare minimum at this point.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to throw this out here, and granted, it's going to take some time to pull this together, this assault together. We can't waste too much time because this Dreadduin is going to be sending people to meaningless deaths, like just sending people off to get killed. Like, we can't let this come to fruition, this assault. So if we can get an idea of a timeline on that, then yeah, I can say we can, if we have the luxury of time, we could head on to Pandaria and check out what's going on there. But we can't let it go too long.
Casey, we've obviously, like, we've fought before and stuff like that. I know that we've talked about being in different stuff. How long, like, do we feel it would take first to get everyone signed up, probably a little training, then you have to travel all the way up there?
You're right. There are going to be logistical hurdles to get through in order to get this happening.
Would we feel we have enough time to go to Pandaria, kind of investigate a little, and come back and still be...
I think you probably could. I think that the risk involved here is if you were to do that, you would have, let's say you're successful. You go to Pandaria, there is a shard there, you are able to collect it. You would have that one and the red one potentially, if the goal is to use them for their power for larger combat. You know that this Dreadlord cat has the black one. And you... I'm pretty sure you guys suspect that the green one is up in that area somewhere. So going to Pandaria could be a way to ensure that the Dreadlord doesn't have three of them. You know what I'm saying?
What? Okay, I have a more specific question. What's the travel time from Stormwind to up there?
It's probably the same. Here, let me look at a world map.
Oh, wait, so you're saying because of the green one headed up towards Gilneas, Lord Aron.
Yep.
Okay, so he's running the risk of getting that one then too. And obviously if he's got...
We have an instant cast spell to come back to Stormwind. So we could start to head towards Pandaria. We still have a couple people we trust in the Silver Covenant, right?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
We can ask someone, hey, when the army heads out, can you send us mail? Because we know mail gets to us quicker. And then we can port here and go, like, have a leg up and not have to wait for a boat.
Falarin can do you one better than that. They have a sending stone.
Yeah.
Sending stone.
I've got the sending stone.
I can't remember if we had sending stones or not. It's been a moment. I understand that we don't want them to do this, but we can still go to Pandaria. With the sending stone, they can notify us once they're heading out. We're right back here in Stormwind, ready to go with them or to cut them off or something.
What's the risk of here? So here's another thought too. Considering the amount of control, and this is going to prove this thought process to me. They took Lariadra away. If Lariadra comes back, and you said that you were able to kind of see those crowns, if Lariadra comes back to us crowned in that shadow way, there's a risk here of an exponential growth of powerful figures within the city being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we're assuming we have 6 or 7 people. But the more that they start to grab and pull people in, the larger their net gets of control of Stormwind, and the more difficult it gets for us to infiltrate. So I'm going to throw that thought out there as well, too. I understand the need to potentially get more power, or at least to have that control away from them to get the other stones. But we also run the risk of this kind of getting out of control.
That's a logical line of thinking.
I watch enough science fiction shows to know.
Right. The struggle is, having been arrested, what are the odds that, like, so you're thinking is either she will come back with a crown. Really, okay. You consider that as an option, and it occurs to you that either she will come back with a crown to the Silver Covenant and try to manipulate things on behalf of Dreadlord Anduin, or she's been arrested and will not be coming back, at least not soon.
Right, that was the other part too. So my first, after meeting here with Ari, I think my first goal is to get to Falarin and ensure the safety and security of that red gem, 100%, to a place and a location that Lariadra doesn't know of. So if they have Lariadra, it's a potential that she's getting interrogated, or at least to spill the beans that there is another stone in the city. He might even already know and feel that the stone is somewhere nearby, the red one. Work with Falarin to either get the red stone out of the city or somewhere definitely out
where Lariadra doesn't know.
Exactly, where Lariadra doesn't know, so she can't be a loose end and a potential risk. If she comes back, you know.
Blame us. Just say we took it or something, and then he doesn't run the risk of telling her.
I'll point out that this is, again, very good lines of thinking. There are a couple of small issues with it. First of all, Falarin, I will review to make sure that I'm correct when I say this, but I think my memory is correct. Falarin does not know where it is. Only Lariadra knew, I think. I'll double check to confirm, but I think right now that's what we did.
No, we made a really big deal about no one knowing. And
yeah. Secondly, if you're concerned that the Dreadlord can sense that it is in town, you guys actively took steps to prevent that from happening.
Oh, that's right. We shielded it.
Lead. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was put in a lead box and hidden somewhere. So that doesn't seem like a huge concern.
I probably made a Superman joke when that happened.
Yeah, probably.
You did.
What is more likely to happen than him sensing it is if you are correct, and if Amelia is working for him of her own volition, and if she is able to get the location out of Lariadra, she can just go get it without doing magic or whatever to it. There's a lot of if on that, but that is a risk.
So what are we wanting to do then, Falkus? Like, obviously Pandaria's on the table. What other thing do you, what is the alternative? Like, I understand your concerns. I just don't know then where do we go?
I think for right now, I like that we have a quick word back into here. You know, if we have a word of anything happening, we have information that we can get quickly, as well as the Hearthstone to get back to the Silver Covenant. I think we should have a discussion with Falarin. Outside of the game table talk, I don't think we need to have the full discussion with Falarin unless it proves necessary.
Yeah, we can just state I have a conversation with this character. That's not a problem.
Okay. So my game plan here is to have a conversation with Falarin, share our concerns, share what we found out, what we know, to be on edge, be aware of this. And knowing that we have Billy here with the ship ready to rock and roll,
mm-hmm.
Let's get out of here right away and have Falarin let us know immediately if Lariadra comes back. And to be on edge or be potentially very cautious of Lariadra's mysterious return, because I would think that that's under guise of potentially her being controlled or otherwise.
Falarin takes all of that very, very seriously and starts making notes about ways to help to insulate the Silver Covenant from this kind of control. They start talking about, okay, well, if we can get maybe some dispel magic abilities, we'll figure out like some zone of truth spells. We can do that sort of thing. We can have that sort of in our back pocket, you know, magically non-magical thoughts as well, like all these different things. But yeah, in particular, like, yeah, if she just shows up again, you know, we'll figure out a way if we can do a detect magic. We'll figure out a way if we can do a dispel magic. If all that stuff is in play, you know, we have spells like Zone of Truth. We can figure this out in a way that is secure.
Perfect. Then yes, I think that'll be perfect to keep you guys safe in case anything weird should be happening if she returns like that. If she doesn't return, then assume same thing that happened with everybody else who was arrested and sent to the stockades. Along the same lines, that she's just going to be held as a prisoner until further notice.
Okay. Is there anything else in town that you guys would like to do before you make your way over to the harbor?
We're sure that Billy's here.
You know he's due to be here today. You haven't gone to the harbor to see for yourself yet, but that was that's the information you have, yeah.
Okay. I guess pack everything up and we can, look for boats coming in. It is weird to me that we're knowingly leaving after like what we did in the troll thing, that we're knowingly leaving a crystal here. But also we have a handle on our intelligence here. We understand what's going on and we know where another one is. So
this one's embedded deeper than a tick. Like, trying to get this one out is going to be messy.
I will also say, Butch, you're the... You and Falkus together are the marshals of this group. Go ahead and just... Can I get a flat intelligence check from both of you with advantage, please?
An intelligence check? I'm -1 intelligence. So I rolled a 7.
Roll that with advantage, like I said.
Oh. Wait a minute. I rolled a saving throw.
You probably don't have a bonus to your save, so it was probably still a -1.
Yes, it is. It's the same.
Falkus, you too, please.
So, 12.
Intelligence with advantage. these dice do not like me today. 15 with the advantage on the intelligence roll.
Yeah, you're going to have to take your D&D Beyond dice and bathe them in moonlight or something, because there's something cursed about this. And actually, 15's not bad, but it's the best roll you've had all day, and that's not great. On a 12 and a 15, you guys start to think militarily about the reality of, well, if we were to pursue this shard right now, what would that mean on a large scale? That big scary monster probably has some like bad knockdown walls, blow up large areas, cause civilian casualty magics about him, and has Gen Greymane, who's a military might and an individual might all by himself, that lunatic. Valyra, who can kill you before you knew you were dead. And Tyrallian, who's crazy scary.
Mm-hmm.
In a vacuum, like in an open field, the worst that would happen is that you three would die. Here in the city, the consequences would be much worse.
A lot of collateral damage and human casualty. Actually, that's not a bad idea, is to let them continue on with this plan and get them out in the open. Like, in transit. I can't say firsthand, but I have heard tales of Anduin. When Stormwind goes to war, Anduin's there in the front lines with everybody else. I don't think this guy is going to balk at that. He's going to be front and center. That we can probably get him out in the open and away from Stormwind when this all comes to fruition and is enacted.
All right. So let's get on down to the harbor.
Anduin is a dreadlord. I can't say I saw that one coming. Our heroes aren't sure they can take down a dreadlord armed with one of those mysterious crystal shards quite yet, and are on their way to Pandaria to deal with things there. Hopefully they'll be ready to deal with this Dreadduin before he can cause any more damage to Stormwind or Lordaeron. What could this creature be planning in the north anyways? We'll have to wait to find out until the next time we queue up for some more heroic dungeons and dragons.
Please follow us at twitter.com/heroicdnd, where you'll find our players' social media info and a link to our Discord server.